You can go ahead and turn to Proverbs 22. We continue in our study of the feast and celebration of the nation of Israel. Look at all these special times we've been going all the way back that God gave to the nation of Israel, set them apart. And then we're seeing some things that some are in the Scripture, some are not actually in the Scripture, but we can look at them. This morning, we're going to see Bar Mitzvah, which most of us heard of that, and we know what that is. It's something that like a boy when he's about 12 or 13 years old goes through called a Bar Mitzvah. It really means Son of the Commandments. And then there's a thing you might not have ever heard of. It's called Simchat Torah. And it means rejoicing over the law, and we would say rejoicing over the Word of God. So we look at these celebrations this morning, and we look at this. How do we view the Word of God? When are we accountable to God's Word? And are we teaching our children the Word of God? All of that goes together and ties together, and we'll see it as we go through our study. Well, most of you know I always get to go. When we have junior camp, I always get to go, and I get to teach. And then a lot of times we have what we call quizzes, and we actually have these kids come up, and we have these buzzers, and we'll ask a Bible question, and they buzz the buzzer and get it. It's amazing that they know every answer. I'm serious. We'll be teaching them about, like, say, the book of Ruth, or teaching them about Philippians, or teaching them about something. And then when it's time for the questions, they answer them just like this. I mean, they go, and then they give you the answer just like that. And you'd be amazed. And it's so great to see our kids stand up and give out the truths of the Bible, the quote Bible verses. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved to God, a workman need not be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of God. That's what our kids are doing. That's what we're supposed to do. And it's great to see that. The Bible says it should be a great joy to study the Word of God and to know the Bible. So we realize that as we study, as we read, as we know, it brings great joy. Look at this right here. I have inherited thy testimonies forever. That's the Word of God. For they are the joy of my heart. Would you say that the joy of your heart is the Word of God? Most people would say, well, not exactly. I mean, I like the Bible. But the truth is, do we love it? Do we love that this is God's revelation to us? Well, this morning, as we continue seeing Jewish celebrations, so to speak, we're going to deal with two that aren't necessarily in Scripture. They deal with them, but we're going to see how they fit together. And as we do this, let's just remind ourselves where we are and what we've been doing. We looked at a weekly feast called Sabbath, and it was set apart, and we said that we need to rest at least one day. We could just need that. And then the monthly feast was called the New Moon, and it was for them to stop at the beginning of a month and think about God and what He did. And sometimes we need to stop and think. And then they had 7 yearly feasts in Leviticus, and we saw how they all tied together from Passover to Unleavened Bread to First Fruits to Pentecost, to the Feast of Trumpets, to the Day of Atonement, to the Feast of Tabernacles. Those 7 feasts all tie in. Then the fact that Jesus died on Passover, He rose on the first fruits, the church began on Pentecost. I mean, it just, all those tie together. We also saw 2 more that are yearly but aren't found in Leviticus 23 is the Feast of Purim, casting of lots, how the nation of Israel was saved, and then Hanukkah, how once again they had a great victory, and they would do that, and that's just how it tied together. Last couple of weeks, we looked at non-yearly, that the Sabbath year, work 6 years, rest on the 7th year, and then the year of Jubilee, which is basically 49 years and then the 50th year, and they rested there. And we saw that not only did the land go back to the original owners, people owed debt, the debt was off, if they were a slave, they became free. It was just kind of an amazing, amazing thing. And so we saw those. Now, as we go further, as we go in now, we're going to look at these two things: Bar Mitzvah, Son of the Commandments, and Simchat Torah. How many of you have heard of a Bar Mitzvah, of course, right? What's a Bat Mitzvah? Do you know what that is? That's a girl. Bar Mitzvah is a boy, Bat Mitzvah is a girl. And then, how many of you ever heard of this one right here, Simchat Torah? Anybody heard that before? Most people, I mean, when would you have, right? When would you have? If you're not Jewish, if you're not following Jewish things, you're not going to do that. But we'll talk about when this took place, when does it take place, and those kind of things. So let's start with Bar Mitzvah, okay? And it's going to surprise you because it's kind of fun. The Bar Mitzvah means literally Son of the Commandments. And we think of Jewish boys, we think of celebrations when they get in the eyes of a community, they become what they might call themselves a man. So what happens is around 12 or 13 years old, most of the time in a lot of Jewish families, they'll have a Bar Mitzvah, which is a special celebration for the boy when he's like 12 12, 13, or 14, and now he's considered a man. And sometimes a Jewish boy who's 12 or 13 will say, I'm a man, because I've reached it, I've done it. And so the title literally means son of the commandments. And look at this, the boy is no longer considered a child, but has now become responsible to the Word of God. Think about that. Do we have anything like that in our culture as Christians? Do we have anything where kids, they just go into middle school or junior high and that's kind of it? Or maybe they get their driver's license. When they get their driver's license, people say, well, now you got a driver's license, you better be mature and be careful with what you do and all that kind of thing. Who knows? Is there anything in a church that when our kids, boys or girls, get maybe to a certain point that we say, you know, now? Or so, who knows? And maybe there should be. We'll just think about it. But anyway, so this is when the boy is no longer considered a child, but now becomes responsible to the Word of God. In the culture, if you read Galatians, and it talks about that when you were a child, you were under the law, and it basically says in a Jewish household, you could be the heir of everything, because everything's going to be yours, but you're 10 years old and you got nothing. And you're considered almost like a slave. And then all of a sudden you become 13 or 14 and you become a man. And then you are the heir of all things. I mean, that's just sort of how it works. So as far as scripture is concerned, we're not going to find the celebration in there. But one of the things you may not always understand, what do you think? Well, you've always heard of people saying the age of accountability, right? What is the age of accountability? Yeah, well, some people, it might be 50 before they're reached anything. But the bottom line is this. Everybody says there's got to be this age in which you're now responsible, you can understand, and you're kind of accountable to your own self. Well, in the nation of Israel, when they got ready to go into the land, 20 years old and up were accountable. 19 years old and down were not accountable. Because if you remember that they had the spies up there and they came back. 10 of the spies says, we can't go in. 2 of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, said, we can go in. And so they didn't get to go in, so to speak, then. And so he said, the generation that rejected will all die. And that was 20 years old and up. So some people say that the age of accountability might even be 19. Who knows? Or 12 or 13 in the Jewish bar mitzvah, they're saying when you're 12 or 13, when you get to this point, you're going to be responsible. That's sort of how they look at it. So that's called the bar mitzvah. Now, the best we can understand about the bar mitzvah, it goes back to the 13th century was when they first, we read it in the Talmud, which is some Jewish writings, and it talked about taking the Jewish scriptures and that boys at a certain age would be men, sons of the commandments, they had to understand it. There's three parts to a bar mitzvah. There's what they call the release, the sermon, and the meal. Okay, the release was the boy and his father, and the father would pray and say, blessed is he who releases me from this obligation. He's saying, God, you are now releasing me from the actions of this boy, and he's responsible for his own actions. And that's what he's saying. And the father does that. And the idea is the father's no responsible for the son. In fact, the sins of the son will now fall on the son and not the father. So some daddies were pretty looking forward to a bar mitzvah and getting that rebellious kid out up under them. The second thing was the sermon. And the kid, the boy would actually learn to read from the Torah. And, you know, many of them didn't know Hebrew. But they had to read from the Torah, so they had to learn Hebrew, or at least learn the part that they were going to read from the Torah. And they would read from the Torah and the prophets, and they would recite blessings. The family would be really proud of them to hear their sons do this publicly. They had a lot of preparation. In fact, in the past, they had to study the Bible, know the Bible, and then read the Bible. And actually, it was a sermon. They were actually supposed to teach the Bible to the people that were there. That's why they always said people use the train of a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. That verse is really strange. That verse doesn't mean that if you train up a child in truth of Christianity, that when they, if they fall away, eventually they'll come back. That's not what that talks about at all. In fact, it literally says, when it says train up a child, it actually means take some honey and put it on the inside of their mouth. And it is the idea of you release a child and you let them be who they are. That's what it's supposed to be. Let them be. What are their strengths? It's sort of like the daddy who wants his son to be a football player, but his son says, I don't want to play football. I want to read, you know, and the daddy's saying, no, I'm going to make you be a football player. Well, this says, let him go their natural ways. Where are their strengths? That's what this verse is talking about. Anyway, so the guy gets there, and he gets up there, and he does the sermon. And it used to be that they actually taught the Bible, but I've read that in recent years, they usually get up now and just read something in Hebrew, a passage of Scripture in Hebrew that they've memorized, that they've learned to read it and to say it. So it's not as big a deal as it used to be. It used to be they taught the Bible. The third thing is there was a meal and a time of refreshments. And originally when this started, it was a special, very simple get-together, like joy and a simple meal. Well, in recent years, it's become much more than that. It's become a party. If y'all remember, when I had birthdays when I was 6, 7, 8 years old, I never even went to a party. We never had a party. Like, we didn't have parties. And then when we did have parties, if there was some, you went to somebody's house, you brought them the gift, and then you ate ice cream and cake, and you came home. Well, nowadays, if you're going to have a birthday party, you give presents to all the kids that come. How did that happen? And then it's come big deal. It's at some place, and they got to do this. And before you know it, the birthday has become gigantic. Well, the same thing now. That kids that are having bar mitzvahs, instead of getting maybe a ballpoint pen as a gift, they're getting thousands of dollars. They're getting cars. They're getting all kinds of things because everybody wants to say, what are we going to do for our son when he... And so it's changed so much. So the meal used to be simple. It's now bigger than that. Now, with the fact that now he becomes a son of the commandments, there are four privileges that he has. The first one is he can be counted to make up the minya. Now, the minya is you have to have 10 Jewish men to have a synagogue. If you were in the first service, we talked about the book of Philippians, and we said that in the book of Philippians, when Paul got to Philippi, there weren't 10 Jewish men to have a synagogue. There was no synagogue. You have to be, well, after you've had your bar mitzvah, you can count as one of the 10 men. That's what that means. Phylacteries, y'all know what that is? Those little boxes that if you've seen some Jewish people, they have a box, like right here, or right there, and it ties around their head, and there's a box, and there's a scripture in there, a scripture verse in there. And they wear those because Jesus said something like, put it on your head, put it on your, and they took it literally, and so they actually put it on them, and now as he's now reached that age, he can wear that. The third thing, he can actually read the Torah. If they went into the synagogue and they wanted somebody to read, if he, of course, knew enough Hebrew, he could read the Torah. And then the Bet Din is part of a Jewish court. Now that he's old enough, he could be part of the Jewish court if so needed. So those were four privileges. And here's the bottom line. The original purpose of this celebration was the training of young men in the study of Word of God. That's what it's for. It's become a big party now. It's become a guy. Supposedly now you're a man. We got to get presents. Got to have a big deal. But that's what it originally was for. And when you think about this, look at the word. I have treasured your word. It's supposed to be in my heart. I've treasured your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. That's what it's all about. So here's some questions for us. Because we don't do bar mitzvahs or bat mitzvahs. Maybe we should come up with something that when they go into junior high, which is usually a terrible time for them. You know, really, it is. Was junior high hard for you? How many people, junior high was hard for you? Yeah. Some of you didn't make it to junior high. I know, but I'm sorry. But so here's what we think of. Here's some questions, if I can make it click. Okay. Are we training our children in the Word of God? Now, our church is, from the nursery to the kids stuff, to kids club, to Bible kids, to high school, junior high, to even college, all that. We're training people. Now, but the responsibility is not necessarily the local body. The responsibility is the mama and daddy training up our children. That's what we're supposed to do. Second, are we stressing the importance of knowing and applying God's word in our lives and in the lives of our children? It's going to come back to them. If they see you as a mom and a daddy saying, I love the Bible, I can hardly wait to study it, I want to live it out, or what it is, they're going to look at it in that same way. And then the third question is just, should we have a time of celebration? Something like the Jewish people, when you get a certain age, now you're a grown-up, so to speak. Should we do something like that, even as believers? I know some churches do certain things. That's just something to think about, maybe in your family or in individual families, or maybe something in our church that we could do when they reach a certain age, have a special thing for them. We know that when you move from the basically elementary and you get to go to the youth group, that's sort of a step up. That's a change. We know a lot of times when they go to that age, they've been going and living, basically going to one class, and then all of a sudden now they, like in middle school or junior high, they start going to different classes and they feel more grown up. Maybe something around that time. Let's now look at this one. That's called the Simchat Torah, which is rejoicing over the law. And this may surprise you, but this, the Jewish people read the Torah over a three-year cycle. If you and it's not just the Torah. I put Torah up here. They read the Torah over a three-year cycle. They also read the prophets. They read the law and the prophets over a three-year cycle. So if you look on a calendar, if you get a Jewish calendar, it'll show you the readings on Friday night and Saturday, which is Sabbath day. Sabbath day begins Friday night in the evening. That's basically Saturday night, and then there's Saturday day. And when they meet together, they light the candles, and they have particular readings. And it's supposed to be take you 3 years to go through the readings of the Torah and of basically the prophets as well. Somebody left a Jewish calendar this morning. I don't know who did it. They left it on the desk in the office, and I want it if nobody else wants it. It's beautiful. It's from a Christian organization, but it takes everything Jewish. Everything we've been talking about is on that calendar. And it even has this one on there as well. And it also has the readings on there. But now, it is also a Christian organization that puts this out. So on the Sabbath reading, they also say suggested reading, and it's all the New Testament as well. Okay, because it's basically Christian Jewish people is what it's from. So they read this over a three-year time period. And this is a celebration that happens on the 23rd day of the month of Tishri. Now, you may say, what does that mean to me? Well, it doesn't mean a lot, except if you remember, there was the Feast of Trumpets, followed by the Day of Atonement, and then they counted 5 days after that, and they had the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles. At the end of that feast, now, the day after the end of that feast, is this feast called Simchat Torah. And I looked at the Jewish calendar this morning, and sure enough, when it says last day of tabernacles, the very next day says Simchat Torah. So I'm right. So anyway, just know that we got it right. Anyway, so what do? They read the Bible. And they're supposed to read the Bible, and we're supposed to read the Bible. Think about it. Ezra and Nehemiah both read publicly and taught publicly the Bible. In Acts chapter 2, they continued meeting together for the apostles' doctrine, which is the teaching of the Bible. They taught the Bible as they met. Philippians 1 Timothy 4:13 says, when you come together for public reading, exhortation, and teaching of the Word of God. When we come together on a Sunday morning, it is not for me to make up a sermon to talk to you about. It is to teach through the Word of God so we can know it and make application. Listen, I don't sit in my office trying to figure out what to talk about on Sunday mornings. I sit in my office studying the passages that we're going to look at so we can understand it and teach it. And so today we're starting Philippians, and we're actually going to get a little bit of verse 1, not the whole verse. Well, just a little bit. And then after that, we'll go verse by verse through there. So what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to have sermons? Are you supposed to be taught the Scripture? The bottom line is, when you come together, Paul says, public reading, by the way, this is reading, application, and teaching. We'd say, read the Word, teach the Word, apply the Word. And that's what we try to do. That's where we got it from. We didn't make it up. We got it from the Bible. And so the Bible, that's what we're supposed to do. Look at this right here. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharpening two-edged sword, piercing far as the vision of the soul and spirit of the joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Isaiah 55:11, the Word of God never comes back void. That's why when you teach the Scripture, it goes out to everybody in that room, And it touches their lives the way God wants the Word of God to touch their lives. It never comes back void. And then the 2 Timothy said all scriptures inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for correction, for training, and all that. It's just amazing. So when you think about the Bible, do you love it? Do you want to study it? Do you dig it? How many of you have your own time in which you study the Bible? See, it's one thing to say, I have a quiet time. What's a quiet time? Well, I read the scripture and I write something in my journal. That's not Bible study. That's a quiet time. But that's okay. You got to have a quiet time. You should have a quiet time every day. But Bible study is when you're opening the Word and you're going observation, interpretation, application. You're trying to put it together. You're trying to see how it fits. Look at this right here. He says, I rejoice at your Word as one who finds great spoil. Is that why we look at the Bible? This is fantastic. Look at this one. I rejoice in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. This is better than anything I could have. It is so beautiful. So with that in mind, here's what we're to do. Know the Word, apply the Word, pass on the Word. How do we know the Word? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed. Handling accurately the Word of God. You got to know how it fits together. Then you got to apply it. Look at there. It's a Philippians verse. Whatever you've seen and heard and make, practice these things. And then finally, pass it on. 2 Timothy 2:2, take what you've been taught and trust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. That's what we're supposed to do. And so every one of us in this room, we should be digging the Word of God, we should be applying the Word of God, and we should be passing on the Word of God. And so for the Jewish people, every year on a certain day, they rejoice of the Bible. We should be rejoicing all the time. And so as you think about the Bar Mitzvah and the Simchat Torah, think about this. Let's teach our children the Word of God. It begins in the home, and it actually begins with the daddy. Fathers, bring your children up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Now, we can make applications like, well, that father's that means mama and daddy together and everything. Who's responsible? Daddies are. And so we need to do that. We need to train them up. And let's teach our children the Bible. Starts here at home, but it also is here. Because if we're going to have your children, if while you're sitting in here, they're in there, they need to be being taught the Bible while they're in there, just like you're being taught the Bible while you're in here. That's what it's all about. So we got to teach our children. Then the second is, let's rejoice in the reading and the teaching. And of course, I should have put application, reading, teaching, and application of God's perfect Word. We have it. We should say, I love the Bible. I love the Bible. I can hardly wait to study it. I can hardly wait to do it. And let me just tell you something. You may get up, and it's time for you to either study the Bible or read the Bible, and you may say, I don't feel like it. So what? I don't feel like working out ever. Ever. I've never felt like I want to go work out. Right? And there are times I'll get up and I'll go, man, I better go get some coffee. Better go do this. Better go find my red pencil. You want to do everything but study, but you have to make yourself study. When he says study to show yourself, he didn't say, if you feel like it, study the Bible. He doesn't say, pray without ceasing if you feel like it. These are commands from Scripture. So let's dig it. Let's love it. Let's rejoice in the Bible, the reading, the teaching, the application of God's perfect Word.